Take your Bibles and turn with me, please, to Luke chapter 1. And in just a moment, we'll be in verse 26. Luke chapter 1, verse 26. We're in a little series on Christmas. Last week, I talked about Joseph, how he was a man of God. Today, I want to talk to you about Mary and how she was a godly woman. I want to remind you that we live in a day where men need to be men of God, and women need to be women of God. Mary, the mother of Jesus, was a godly, righteous woman. And I want to say something that I meant to say last week. You don't have to be married to be godly. You don't have to be married to be completed. Jesus completes you. No other human being in the world can complete you except Jesus Christ. Now, some of you are single. You say, how can I get anything out of a sermon on a man and a woman who are married? Well, most of this is just applicable for us as men and women, not just husbands and wives. But you don't have to have anyone except Jesus Christ to have a fulfilling life. Now, Mary was a godly woman before she met Joseph. And Joseph was a godly man before he married Mary. There are some teachings in the areas in which we live, the theological world, that are erroneous, that are unbiblical regarding Mary, and most of those come from the Roman Catholic Church. These are some core Roman Catholic beliefs about Mary that are not scriptural. They refer to her as the mother of God. Theotokos is the Greek word. And they say that she is the spiritual mother of men. In other words, she is an antitype of Eve, just as Jesus is the antitype of Adam. Well, it's true, it's biblical that Jesus is the second Adam. But nowhere in the Bible does the Bible teach that Mary is the second Eve. It's a false comparison to begin with, because Adam and Eve were married, and obviously Mary and Jesus were not. She was his mother. And then there's the concept of the Immaculate Conception. Many people believe that's referring to the conception of Jesus. Well, it's not. Mary, they're saying she was sinless from conception herself, although she was conceived through normal human relationships. Well, that's not biblical. Nowhere in the Bible does it teach that she is in any way born of a virgin, or immaculate conception is just not taught in the Bible. And then there's perpetual virginity, that after she gave birth to Jesus, Mary remained a virgin until her death. Again, nowhere is that taught in Scripture. And then there's the teaching of the Assumption of Mary, that after she died, her tomb was found empty, from the apostles, and from which the apostles concluded that her physical body was taken into heaven. Well, with all due respect, nowhere is that taught in Scripture. And while the Roman Catholics do try to make it clear that Mary's role as redeemer or mediator between God and men is dependent upon Jesus, and that in no way is she equal to Jesus, they still argue a great deal that she participates somehow with Jesus in redemption and mediation. And so that's why you hear the prayer constantly from Roman Catholics: Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Then this: Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. The only thing wrong with that, again, it's not in the Bible. It's just not in the Bible. Now, I'm not here trying to beat up anybody, but I am talking about Mary. And there's so much misinformation out there about her. She was not sinless at conception. She was not sinless throughout her life. She did not remain a virgin after she bore Jesus. Mary's body was not resurrected after her death. Her body, wherever it is, I believe it's in Ephesus, but wherever she is, her body is still there. Her soul is with the Lord. Her body has not yet been taken to heaven, and she is not the Redeemer, and she is not the Mediator, and nowhere in the Bible are you told to pray to Mary. I just thought I'd share that with you. It's just not in the Bible. And so don't believe that, okay? Don't believe it. That's just something that people came up with. But Mary was a godly, godly woman. Look there in Luke chapter 1, verse 26. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin engaged or betrothed to a man who was named Joseph of the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, the angel said to her, "Greetings," or "Hail, favored one, the Lord is with you." Let's talk about how you can be a godly woman. And boy, there's a need for that in our day, just like there's a great need for you men out there to be godly men. The first thing I would say is this: a godly woman has to have a surrendered will. And I'm talking about surrendering her will to God. Look there again at Luke chapter 1, verse 26 and following. We'll read a little bit more scripture there. This famous episode of her talking with Gabriel. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he, the angel, said to her, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." Now can you just imagine being a young teenage girl and all of a sudden the angel of the Lord coming into your room and greeting you, "Hail, favored one, the Lord is with you." I'm sure she was looking around the room saying, "Who are you talking to?" But she was very perplexed at this statement. She kept pondering what kind of salutation this was. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary." Most of the times when angels showed up in the Bible, they had to say, "Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you'll conceive in your womb, and you'll bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great. He will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be since I am a virgin?" Now, a lot of people don't believe in the virgin birth. A lot of people question the virgin birth, and I think it's interesting that the first one to question the virgin birth was the virgin. "How can these be? How can this be since I am a virgin?" The angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, and for that reason, the child shall be called the Son of God. And behold, even your relative, Elizabeth, has also conceived a son in her old age." That's the mother of John the Baptist. "And she who was called barren is now in her sixth month. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, and I love this, here's where she just surrenders her will to the Lord. "Behold, I am the bondslave of the Lord." I love this prayer. "May it be done to me according to your word." Aren't you glad that she prayed that? And the angel departed from her. Mary was a godly woman. She surrendered herself to do the will of God, even though she was visited by this angel. Even though it was going to be hard for her family and her friends, and especially her husband-to-be, Joseph, to believe that an angel had come to her, that she was expecting a baby by the power of the Holy Spirit. I love that phrase where it says, "The Holy Spirit shall come upon you." It's the same word, epirchomai, that is mentioned in Acts 1:8 when Jesus said, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses." Same thing, same thing. And so you have here, she's becoming pregnant by the Holy Spirit, and that even though she was pregnant, she was still a virgin. She knew was going to be very hard for people to believe. But she surrendered herself up to that. She said, Lord, behold, here I am, a living and holy sacrifice. Be it done to me according to thy will. When I think about Mary, I think about the mother of some very godly people named Susanna Wesley. She was the daughter of a preacher. She married a preacher and a lot of her children, John Wesley, who, and also Charles Wesley. Charles Wesley wrote some of the songs that we sang today. Charles Wesley wrote 9,000 hymns. And John Wesley preached for over 50 years and rode 250,000 plus miles on horseback. I said that one time to my little church down in Texas, and I had one deacon come up who went to be with the Lord not long ago. He said, that was some horse. Well, it was different horses. But anyway, John Wesley, great man of God, but they had a great godly mother who dedicated herself to her 19 children. 19 children. She had more children than we've got grandchildren. Some of you might say, well, she wasted her life. I don't think so. She said, Lord, be it done to me according to thy word. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done, not mine. I want to ask you, is that the way you live your life? Is that the way you live your life? Men and women, boys and girls, do you just say, God, here I am, a living and holy sacrifice. Whatever you want, I have no agenda. My agenda is your agenda. I just want you to do whatever it is you want to do in my life. Here I am, Lord, take me, use me, and Lord, use me until I go to be with you. God, I'm willing to do whatever you say. Do you ever pray like that? Or do you have your own agenda that you want God to accomplish for you, and then when he doesn't do exactly what you want him to do, do you get mad at God? I want to say this to you, for all of us, but especially you ladies, we're talking about Mary today. You need to be like Susanna Wesley. She chose to be a godly mother. And she poured into those children. And those children, I'm telling you, that's the first great awakening that came after the book of Acts was in the 1700s with her boys. What a legacy she left behind. A lot of people would have thought she's wasted her life. Well, God didn't think so. She didn't waste her life. She poured her life into her children, because she had a submissive will toward God. The second thing about a godly woman is she needs to have a worshiping heart. All this is so important. Once Mary surrendered to the will of God, she began to worship God. She began to adore him and praise him. This is known as the Magnificat, Latin for "my soul magnifies the Lord." Luke chapter 1, verse 39. Now at this time Mary arose and went in a hurry to the hill country to a city of Judah. She entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And notice this, when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby — if you don't believe unborn children are babies, then look at this text — the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Who is that baby? That was John the Baptist. When the Messiah walked in the room, he was leaping in his mother's womb. Those were two individuals in the womb. I'm telling you, you know what I'm about to say. I'm telling you, it is wrong to abort a baby. Take the word out. It is wrong to kill a baby in the mother's womb. It's wrong. I don't care what anybody says. I don't care what political party you are, you ought to be against abortion and for unborn children. This little baby leaping in the womb shows us. And she cried out with a loud voice, and she said, "Blessed are you." This is Elizabeth talking to Mary. "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And how has it happened to me that the mother of my Lord would come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what had been spoken to her by the Lord." And Mary said — here's the Magnificat — she starts to worship the Lord, "My soul exalts the Lord." It's one thing for your mouth to exalt the Lord. It's one thing for your brain to exalt the Lord. It's another thing for your heart and soul to exalt the Lord. My soul exalts the Lord. My spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. For he has had regard for the humble state of his bondslave. For behold, from this time on, all generations will count me blessed. For the mighty one has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is upon generation after generation toward those who fear him. He has done mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who were proud in the thoughts of their heart. He has brought down rulers from their thrones and has exalted those who were humble. He has filled the hungry with good things. He has sent away the rich empty-handed. He has given help to Israel, his servant, in remembrance of his mercy. As he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his descendants forever. And Mary stayed with her about 3 months and then returned to her home. She worshiped the Lord. The quotations she was giving were just filled with Old Testament scripture, but she was worshiping God the Father. Instead of being embarrassed that she was pregnant and that she was not yet married, she was not embarrassed because she knew it was of God. I want to ask you, do you worship the Lord? It's one thing to sing a song. It's another thing to really pour out your heart to God in praise. When you come into this room, are you primarily looking around? Now, there's nothing wrong with fellowship. I enjoy the time when we shake hands. Although I want to tell you something, there's a lot of bad stuff going around, all right? You better wash those hands pretty quick when you get out of here, all right? I enjoy the fellowship, but it's nothing like the fellowship you have with the Lord. Do you worship the Lord? Worship, I like to say it this way, is when you exchange hearts with God. And when you leave this place, God has your heart and you have God's heart. It's a time of love. It's a time of expression where you open your mouth and you praise the Lord. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Bless the Lord, O my soul. All that is within me, bless his holy name. And you're not just singing songs because they're up there on the screen. Rather, you're singing from your very heart. Even if you are not on key, maybe you're not singing on key, but you know what? God doesn't care. He just wants you to sing in the key of Holy Spirit. Amen? I want to encourage you to be a worshiper. God seeks those who worship him in spirit and in truth. God is looking for people who will be grateful to God for all the gracious things he has done for them. It's okay to ask God for things, but man, you ought to take a lot of time and thank him for what he's already done and give him praise for who he is. A godly woman, a godly woman has a worshiping heart. A godly woman also has a meditative mind. Mary was a thinker. She loved the Lord with all of her heart, soul, mind, and strength. Look at Luke chapter 2, verse 15 and following. When the angels had gone away, now we're over after she's had the baby and she's in Bethlehem, and these shepherds are about to come. The Bible says, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, this is Bethlehem, let us go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. In just a few weeks, I'll be in those fields right outside of Bethlehem. I've been there 15 times. This will be my 15th time. And to go there and to think about what took place where all those angels were singing and rejoicing and telling the shepherds to come. So they came in a hurry. I like to say that everybody has been hurrying around Christmas ever since. Amen? So they came in a hurry and they found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. Then they said, when they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child. And all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. But, look at verse 19, but Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. The shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as had been told them. She had a pensive spirit. She was constantly meditating on the things of God, pondering the thoughts of God in her heart. When you go back when she first heard from Gabriel, when she first was greeted by Gabriel, do you remember what we read a moment ago in Luke 1:19 when he said, "Hail, favored one, the Lord is with you." The Bible says in Luke 1:29, but she was very perplexed at this statement and kept pondering them, what kind of salutation this might be. If you read a little farther, when Luke, in the Gospel of Luke, when Jesus was 12 years old, the Bible says that they couldn't find Jesus. I want to say this, it's one thing to lose somebody, but you lose Jesus, you're in trouble, amen? They had lost Jesus. Where is Jesus? We don't know where Jesus is. And they were looking, and they finally found him in the temple. He was talking to the Jewish theologians, and he said, "Didn't you know that I had to be in my Father's house?" I think it's interesting that the first recorded words we have of Jesus is a question. He's always asking questions, not to get information, but to make people think. And so Jesus said, "Didn't you know that I had to be in my Father's house?" And the Bible says in Luke 2:51 that he went down with them, that is with Joseph and Mary, back to Nazareth, and he continued in subjection to them, and his mother treasured all these things in her heart. Ladies, you want to be a godly woman? Love God with your mind. One of the ways you can do that is be a reader. And I'm not just talking about reading all the junk on the internet. I'm talking about reading good books. You ought to read the Bible. I want to encourage everybody in here to read the Bible through all the way through next year. There's no reason you shouldn't. Everybody here has 20 minutes a day. You can take 20 minutes a day, get off the other stuff you're doing, and focus on reading the Bible. If you're a slow reader, you can read one portion in the one-year Bible. They're over in the bookstore. I think they're only like $10. That's just unbelievable. A nice Bible that has the whole plan already put out. Or if you want to get the plan, the free plan that we give you, but read the Bible all the way through. And when you do, when you study the Word of God, God will renew your mind. And then read good books. Read good biographies. Read biographies about people like John and Charles Wesley. Read biographies about people like Charles Spurgeon. Read biographies about godly people out there. There's so many men and women. And then read good books. We have so many good books over in our bookstore. And this is not a commercial. I'm just trying to tell you, you need to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. You need to be a person that really has a meditative mind. I'll tell you, somebody that does this very well is my wife. She is a reader, and she reads all the time. She's always got her iPad out. In fact, she's got it out right now, probably. I don't know if she does or not, but if she is, she's not reading anything right now. She's listening to me. I want you to know that, all right? But learn to think like a Christian. Learn to read and to be meditative and to have a mind. Exercise your mind. It's one thing for your body to deteriorate, but it's another thing not to use your mind. Man, while you have your mind, use it for the glory of God, ladies, and be a godly woman. Another thing is, a godly woman has a compassionate soul. James Dobson has said, parenting is not for cowards. Isn't that right? A mother should be compassionate regarding what happens to her children. Mary would be, the Bible says in Luke chapter 2, verse 25, "And there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him, and it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ." Wouldn't you like to walk close enough with God that God would talk to you like that? That God would say, "Okay, you're not going to die until you see the Messiah." Well, I want to tell you something. It's not that God's not talking. It's that we're not listening. God is a talker. And God will talk to you about things. He will get very specific with you, just like he did right here with Simeon. "And he came in the Spirit into the temple." That's a good way to come to church. "And when the parents brought in the child Jesus," this is Joseph and Mary, "to carry out for him the custom of the law, then he took him into his arms and blessed God and said, "Now behold, now Lord, you are releasing your bondservant to depart in shalom, in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation." He knew in his spirit, he knew that Jesus was the Messiah, which you have prepared in the presence of all the peoples, a light of revelation to the Gentiles, and the glory of your people Israel. And his father and mother were amazed at the things which were being said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, "Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rise of many in Israel and for a sign to be opposed." In other words, this child is going to have a tough life. This child is going to go through great suffering. "And a sword will pierce even your own soul to the end that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed." What's he talking about? He's talking about the fact that she would have to endure seeing her son rejected by the Jewish religious leaders and ultimately crucified. You know what? She was still there. A lot of people left, but not Mary. She was there to the bitter end. She saw Jesus die on the cross. She saw his body after they had beaten him. She saw him before that kangaroo court in Jerusalem, and she saw it all. And her heart, she had a compassionate, compassionate heart. Some of you, you say, "Brother Steve, I can't afford to have a compassionate soul. I've got too many bad things that have happened to me." Look at me. Don't get hard. Don't harden your heart. Let God massage your heart. Have a compassionate heart. Some of you have been wounded, and the way you've dealt with it, you just have a stiff upper lip, but you know that's not good enough. You know there are moments where you break down and you cry. Look at me. There's nothing wrong with crying if you aim those tears toward God and you cry out to God and say, "Oh God, help me. Lord, I'm going through a hard time. Help me." I remember when my mother found out that my father had Alzheimer's. And she got to the point where she could not take care of him. She tried. My dad was a big guy, and he would try to get his keys. We had to take the keys away from him. That's hard for a person, you know. And so Daddy was having Alzheimer's, but he would drive somewhere and he'd forget where he was and she'd have to come get him. And so finally, Don and I had to come home. We were in Alabama and we said, "Dad, you're going to have to stop driving." Well, he broke down and cried, obviously. And I just remember during all that time how hard it was on my mother. And one night, she had come in. She'd been out cleaning. She had a janitorial service, and janitors work when other people don't. And she'd been out cleaning the bank, First Citizens Bank. She came home, and she put her stuff down on the table, and she just laid her head down on the table and started crying. Now, you think I'm making this up, but I'm not. A knock on the door, on the back door. Somebody that had been to our house many times. And it was our pastor from First Baptist Dyersburg, Dr. Buddy Boston. And he came in. He knew my mom well. And my mom was the kind, honestly, when the pastor came to see you at the hospital, she said, "What are you doing here? You got other things to do. I'm fine." So she was not a real needy woman. But this time, that strong woman needed somebody. And he just touched her on the shoulder and prayed for her. And she broke down and said, "Oh, thank you, Lord." You need to have a compassionate heart. There are a lot of people out here, folks, that are hurting during Christmas time. And some of y'all are worried that you're not going to get your grandbabies enough days. You need to get off of that stuff. You need to quit worrying about all that and look around the people that are around you right now that are hurting. And minister to the people around you. Quit thinking so much about yourself and start thinking about other people. And when you do, you'll have a compassionate soul that ministers. And I promise you, ladies, that is something God will bless. It's quiet in here, man alive. a compassionate soul. Number five, a godly woman has a Christ-centered confidence. Oh, I love this. I love this. Now, I don't think you should drink any wine, and I'm not going to argue with it. You say, well, Jesus did and all this. I understand, but sometimes all they had back then was wine and rancid water, all right? We've got Diet Coca-Cola. You don't have any reason, all right? You don't have any reason. I can't think of any good reason to drink wine or to drink liquor or to drink beer. I could think of a lot of good reasons not to. But be that as it may, I'm not preaching about that, so quit talking to me about that, all right? After Jesus got grown up, after he was baptized, after he was tempted, after he was filled with the Holy Spirit, he goes out and starts ministering. And the first miracle he performed was at a wedding. And the Bible says that Mary says something there. I don't ever want you to forget it. I'll read it to you very quickly. John chapter 2, verses 1 and following. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee. The mother of Jesus was there. Both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. When the wine ran out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." Jesus said, "Woman, what does that have to do with you and me? My hour is not yet come." His mother said to the servants, now this shows me she had complete confidence in her son. Whatever he tells you to do, say it out loud, do it. Isn't that good advice? Whatever Jesus tells you to do, just do it. Just do it. Now there were six stone water pots set there for the Jewish custom of purification containing 20 or 30 gallons each. Jesus said to them, "Fill up the water pots." They filled them up to the brim. He said to them, "Draw some out now and take it to the head waiter." So they took it to him. When the head waiter tasted the water, which had become wine, and did not know where it came from, but the servants who had drawn the water knew, the head waiter called the bridegroom and said to him, "You know, every man serves the good wine first, and when the people have drunk freely, then he serves the poorer wine. But you have kept the good wine until now." This began beginning of his signs, his miracles Jesus did in Cana of Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. Whatever he says, do it. Whatever he says to you, do it. And I would just say this to you. Whatever Jesus is saying to you, why don't you just go ahead and do it and quit fighting God? If Jesus is saying you need to be saved, then get saved. If Jesus is saying you need to be baptized, then get baptized. If Jesus is saying you need to start reading your Bible, then read your Bible. If Jesus is saying you need to pray, then you need to pray. If Jesus is saying you need to share the gospel with a lost person, then share the gospel with that lost person. Whatever he says to you, do it. I think this is where that phrase came. Just do it, all right? Just do it. Quit reasoning. Quit rationalizing. Quit second guessing. Whatever the Lord tells you to do, do it. A Christ-centered confidence. Number six, a godly woman has an unwavering loyalty. Let's go now to the end of Jesus' life as she stands by the cross and watches her son die. John 19, 23, then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his outer garments and made four parts, a part to every soldier, and also the tunic. Now the tunic was seamless, woven in one piece. So they said to one another, "Let's not tear it, but cast lots for it to decide whose it will be, whose it shall be." This was to fulfill the scripture, "They divided my outer garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots." Therefore the soldiers did these things, but standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother, his mother's sister, Jesus' aunt, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus then saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved, that's John who wrote these words, standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her into his own household. And for decades, John took care of Mary. And I believe that they are both buried in Ephesus to this day. Now, friend, I want to tell you something. That says a lot. That says a lot about her loyalty. Are you that loyal to Jesus Christ? You know, nowadays, if you're loyal to Jesus Christ, people will put you down. I can remember when Muhammad Ali would fight and win a big fight. He would say, "I praise Muhammad and Allah for helping me win the fight." And nobody said a word to anybody. But I can also remember when a young quarterback was kneeling after he would score a touchdown. And people made fun of him. Do you remember that, Tim Tebow? Oh, they made fun of him. They said, "You shouldn't speak in the name of Jesus." I'd say that's a double standard, wouldn't you? If Muhammad Ali can talk about Muhammad, why can't Tim Tebow be loyal to his Savior, Jesus Christ? And I want to tell you something. Persecution in America is only going to intensify before the coming of Christ. You better get used to it. And if you're not being persecuted, maybe it's because you're not living the way you should. You need to have an unwavering loyalty to Jesus. And then finally, a godly woman has a prayerful devotion. If you go now, Jesus has ascended back to heaven, and he said, "You guys go and tarry in Jerusalem. I just want you to stay there, and you pray until the Holy Spirit comes." And guess who obeyed her son? Mary. Look at Acts 1, 13 through 14. When they had entered the city, they went up to the upper room where they were staying, that is, Peter and John and James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas the son of James. The only one missing, Judas of Iscariot, because he had already committed suicide. These all with one mind were continually devoting themselves to prayer. Now watch this. Along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and her brothers, and with his brothers. This is the last statement regarding Mary in the whole Bible. She was faithful to the end. And I believe she was there 10 days later when the Holy Spirit came upon them. She was filled with the Holy Spirit. She started saying, "Not only is he my son, he is my Savior." And she told people about Jesus. I don't know how you could have, whether you're a single girl or a single woman or a married woman, I don't know how you could have a better role model than Mary. Why don't you ask God, "Oh Lord, would you give me a surrendered will? Oh Lord, would you give me a worshiping heart? Oh Lord, would you give me a productive, meditative mind? Let me use my mind and love you with all of my heart, soul, mind, and strength. And Lord, would you give me a compassionate soul that I'm not hard toward people? God, let me have a loving, compassionate heart and soul. And God, would you give me that Christ-centered confidence that I can say to anybody, anytime, anywhere, whatever Jesus tells you to do, just do it. And Lord, would you give me an unwavering loyalty? Lord, let me be loyal to Jesus. And Lord, would you give me a prayerful devotion that no matter what happens, I will pray unto you and I will cast all my cares upon you, because you care for me." Oh, how we need godly women in America. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would give us people like Mary. Oh, God, help every woman in this room, and help us as men to learn from Mary as well, Lord. Lord, let every woman in this room, whether they're married or not, Lord, I'm thankful that no woman needs a man and no man needs a woman to be complete. We just need Jesus to be complete. God, I pray that you will help us to emulate Joseph and Mary for your glory. Thank you for choosing them to bring up and to rear and to bring up our precious Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. And all God's people said, amen.